All right, God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I thought we was done talking about prayer last week, but the Lord this week, I just couldn't get this out of my system, so I figured it was good to kind of bring a little message about prayer in a little different way. What I'll be talking about today is the idea of the prayer of faith and how important that is. You know, we've been looking at prayer from the aspect of being relational with God. We should never, ever lose sight of that, because that's what really, you know, prayer starts off in the beginning, in a sense, where we have that supernatural communion with God, where we're with Him, and, you know, we kind of get direction, we get built up and correction sometimes. But today, I want to look at it from the idea of praying in faith and how important that is. You know, sometimes I think we just pray because we're supposed to. And deep down inside, we may not really believe that something's going to happen. You know what I mean? There's times where, you know, I know as a minister, I'm expected to pray. You know what I'm saying? And so, and just like any Christian, you know, there's times like that in our life. And we're going to look at the elephant in the room today, which I think is that, do I really believe that my prayers are going to be answered? Or am I just praying for the sake of prayer? The passage I want to look at today is found in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 25, and Jesus was talking to His disciples here, and Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God, okay? It says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive, and if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you of your transgressions. I don't know why God tacked that last part on. You know what I mean about forgiveness, but evidently Jesus thought that was very important too, especially in our prayer lives. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the blood that cleanses us, Lord. We just want to cleanse our vessels right now. We just repent of any confessed sin or unconfessed sin in our life, Lord, sins of omission or commission. Lord, I just pray that your words have a lot of weight today. Lord, that they are going to carry out and complete that for which they're sent. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. Use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, we bind the devil from trying to bring a distraction or disturbance or rob the word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this is a very common passage in a lot of different realms, you know, in the sense of talking about the prayer of faith and how important it is. So my first point I want to look at is the idea of having faith in God, it says right here. Having faith in God. That's what Jesus is telling them. And, you know, I believe this is true in many of our lives, that we just cannot believe in God, but we must believe God. And there's a difference. You know, most people probably would say, yeah, I believe in God, but they don't believe God. They don't believe God is, well, that in a way that we can take Him at His word. That we can, you know, believe everything that He says. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says the demons believe in God. I mean, they believe in God, but they're not saved. They're not, you know, operating in the realms of faith. So it takes more than just believing in God. We actually have to take Him at His word. You know, I was just talking to somebody this week. I was witnessing to them a little bit about some things, and, you know, I've witnessed to them quite frequently. But, you know, they finally admitted to me that they believe in God, but they admitted they really don't believe God. They're not really willing to take God at His word yet. And see, that's the important part. That makes a step from darkness to light. That brings us out of the kingdom of the devil over into the kingdom of God. Is that we have to get to the place in our life that we start to really trust. You know, it's one thing to acknowledge, you know, how we got here, meaning the idea of creation, but it's another thing to trust God that He's going to get us to where we need to be going. A lot of times we light out on our journey and we have plans and things and desires, you know, that we want to do, but we haven't really consulted God because we maybe feel that maybe God's failed us. We're going to look at some of these a little bit later, why maybe what hinders us from coming to God. But I believe that God needs to be involved in our everyday lives. You know, it's got to be something we do daily. It's something that we bring Him and we consult Him and we ask for His direction and His wisdom and especially His guidance, you know, when it comes to making certain decisions in our life. There's a lot of things, you know, that we need help on, and we just kind of wing it sometimes, and we shouldn't. So that's why it's important that we believe that, you know, first that God is our Creator, and most believe that. But the next step, you know, we looked at it in the last few weeks, the idea of the Lord's Prayer, that it's hard to believe that God is Father. Now, I'm sure when Jesus spoke this way, our Father, with art in heaven, I'm sure some of the Jews were just, heads were ready to explode. Because there's no way that anybody would have the audacity to call a holy God their Father. But we can. We can through Jesus Christ. There you go. And see, that's why it's important that we understand we have that kind of connection. And I don't know about you, but growing up, I used to ask my dad for things. To be honest, my dad was a little easier touch than my mom sometimes. You know, so I would go to my dad and I'd ask him for things. And see, that's kind of what we do, and it makes it more personal. And what's amazing is that most other religions that I can think of, you know, they would never think of calling God Father. The God that they talked to or the God that they tried to approach was somebody that was kind of distant, that was kind of fickle, that, you know, one day he might be nice and the next day he might be mean. You know, they just didn't have the concept or understanding what it means to come into that right relationship with God, you know, that you and I can have. See, most people, you know, especially I'm just speaking for Americans right now, most people believe that God is in control of things, but they do not believe that God really cares. They live in a world that is broken, and there's so many things going on in their life, and they just can't understand why a loving and holy God would allow some of the things that's going on to happen. Comes back to the concept of a loving God to reveal to us true love is the fact that we have a free will. That we have a free will to be able to make choices. If God would not have given us the free will, the ability to make choices as He gave us dominion here on this planet, then it wouldn't be love. It would have just been control. And God didn't want that for us. Now, in having faith in God, I want to clarify the idea that there's really only one true faith, one faith. You know, the word faith means complete trust or confidence in something or somebody. And that's what we have with God. Now, to me, Bible faith doesn't have a plan B. You know, a lot of people have a plan B. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'll do this, but if it don't work out, I'll do that. Well, I'll pray to God. If it don't work out, I got this plan. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people, you know, when I used to, you know, live in Denver, I'd go out and do street evangelism a lot. And, you know, God would, you know, a lot of people you'd talk to, well, I'll try it. I'll try God. Try it? You know, you don't try God. You do God. Amen. You know what I mean? You just don't try it. You know, you have to jump all the way in. You have to get in there and see, that's what it means to not have a plan B. So, you know, God wants us to trust in Him. See, Bible faith is the God kind of faith. See, the faith that you and I operate in is the same faith that God used to create the heavens and the earth. The Bible says there's only one faith. There's only one faith. And that's why it's important that we understand. Now, granted, God has ultimate faith. You know what I mean? But He has given us enough little breadcrumbs, you know, to follow the trail in the Bible that God wants us to grow up and mature and start to be able to operate in a deeper level of faith with Him and not just take things for granted. So the message that I'm bringing today is kind of a challenge to grow a little deeper. You know, to try to get to the place, you know, it takes a lot of faith and a lot of, I'm going to say guts, to actually believe that you received before you see it. You understand what I'm saying? Believe that you received what you're praying for before you have it in your pocket. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. Now, Jesus said this. I didn't. I'm not, you know, I'm just the messenger. You know what I'm saying? You know, I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. That's how I look at it. And I believe, you know, that God wants us all to grow and to get into a different realm to be able to walk, you know, in the miraculous, shall we say, what God has for us. So it's the same kind of faith, the God kind of faith. And that's what we have to do is believe before we see it. Now, Jesus, before he started this, he said to them, you know, truly I say to you. Well, when Jesus says truly, remember Jesus is truth. When Jesus says truly, he was wanting to get something through to them. Now, when did this all take place? This was during the Passion Week. Jesus only had a few days of ministry left on this planet. So he was wanting to make sure that his followers understood something very, very important. So he gave them a great illustration, which we're going to look at here in a moment. But he also said to them, truly, and then he said, you have to believe that you receive when you pray. And that's how important it is, because he was getting ready to go to the cross, and he knew how important it was for his followers, you and I, to be able to understand what it means to believe. See, he wants us to understand this. You know, as I mentioned, this was his last week, and to be honest, faith is how you and I do business in the kingdom of God. It's not by begging or pleading or not just, you know, perfect church attendance. Oh, some of y'all wouldn't, no, I'm just kidding, wouldn't make that, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's about faith. You know, a story I'm going to share today, and I might have shared it years ago, a story about George Mueller. Many of you maybe heard of him. He was in the 1800s, way back in the day, right? Well before us. And he was an evangelist over in England, as well as he had orphanages. You know, it says that over his lifetime, that he took care of over 120,000 orphans. Now that's something, isn't it? At any one time, he would have 2,000 orphans in his charge. He had to feed and he had to clothe them and to make sure they were taken care of. You know, here's a testimony from a couple things. One thing, there's many that he has, but one morning, all the plates and the cups and the bowls on the table were empty. There was no food in the larder, which I'm not sure what that is, but it must have been a cupboard, and no money to buy food. The children were standing, waiting for their morning meal, when Mueller said, "Children, you know we must be in time for school." Then lifting up his hands, he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." Then there was a knock at the door. The baker stood there and said, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some, so I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread, and I have brought it." Next, after he thanked the baker and the baker took off, there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and that he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagon to repair it. That's believing you receive when you pray. You know, that's a real life situation. Now some say, well, that's just a coincidence. I don't think so. You know, I believe that was a man of faith who stepped out, not just for his own personal needs, but he knew that he had the care of these orphans and people under his care, that he knew that he really had to reach out and touch a living and holy God and believe in faith that that God was going to meet his needs. And he was quite a missionary. Next, I want to look at the idea of speaking to your mountains. Now, this is going to seem kind of weird for some, you know, because I believe that you and I, we all have mountains in our life. Now, we live on the flatlands here in, shall we say, the prairie. You know, in Iowa, sort of, we got some hills. We don't have any really mountains or nothing. But a mountain represents a hindrance, something that's holding us back from where we need to be. Now, you can just fill in the blank right now of what your mountain is. You know, we all have them. Maybe it's the mountain of lack. Maybe you have more month than money. Maybe it's a mountain of a relationship. Maybe you have a situation going on with a relationship, or maybe a problem with work or whatever the thing is. There's a mountain standing between you, where you're at now, and where you need to be. And that's what a mountain is. It stands between us where we are and where we need to be. Now, how do you and I respond to barriers? You know, how we respond to barriers, to me, reveals where we are with God right now. Do we turn back, or do we find a way through? Okay? See, there's mountains out there. I thank God for the early explorers. I mean, anybody ever watched some movies or some documentaries of those people? I mean, there was no maps. They made the map, you know what I mean? They would just take off and just head out, and you know, and there's a lot of mountains and stuff in their way, and they just had to get through. And see, that's what we need to do when it comes to the realm of faith. And Jesus kind of gave a picture here. Remember, this is his last week of ministry, very important, had to leave something with his followers. They'd been with him for 3 years. They thought, he probably thought, okay, you know, I've taught them all this stuff, I've showed them all this stuff, so now maybe they're ready to get this, okay? I'm leaving. I'm not coming back for a while. He's coming back, you know, just as sure as he said he was coming the first time, he's coming back. But he says, until then, my church, my people need to understand what it is to live by faith. What it is to understand the importance of being able to do a transaction in the kingdom of God. You know, you and I do transactions all the time. You know, a lot of people don't deal with checks as much anymore because of direct deposit. But, you know, the idea is that when you get a check from somebody, you hope that thing's good. You know, it ain't all the time, is it? You know, I've got some bad checks from some people, just a couple times. You try to run it through, and, you know, hopefully you get your check. They don't take it away from you, and you try to run it through again, and hopefully you time it right where you get some money. But, you know, a check is something we take by faith, and that's how we can do transactions here with plastic, with a check, with cash, whatever the case may be. Well, those things don't actually work in the kingdom of God. I mean, we do spiritual principles with tithing and things like that, but primarily it takes faith to do a transaction in the kingdom of God, to be able to get things done. Now, what Jesus did here, he showed them a very acute picture of what faith is, about speaking to your mountain. He walked up to a fig tree. I know it sounds kind of crazy. Don't you kids try this at home? No, I'm just kidding. But he walked up to a tree. He was getting hungry. You know, he did a lot of preaching and a lot of stuff, and he was going into Jerusalem and back and forth and going in and preaching at the temple and cleansing the temple, doing a lot of stuff, but that's for another time. You know, but what he did, he looked far off, and he saw a tree, a fig tree, and it had a bunch of leaves on it. Really looked good, you know what I'm saying? It looked like a good tree. And he walked up there and didn't have any figs. It was all blow and no show, you know what I'm saying? That's what my mom used to say. You know, a lot of people like that. They are all blow and no show. But that tree looked good, but it had nothing. And he said, he cursed it. He says, no longer for anybody ever eat from this tree. Walked away. I'm sure the disciples said, whoa, you know, what are you doing talking to a tree, God? Or Jesus, you know what I mean? What's going on here? Never thought nothing about it. Right after Jesus said it, just looked the same as it did. But the next day, when they walked by, they saw it, and it was dead from the roots up. And that's when it got their attention, saying, whoa, what is this? And that's when Jesus taught them this principle. You know, because what this is also, I mean, just a little sidestep here, was it was kind of a rebuke against the nation of Israel, because the fig tree represents Israel, and they were really all blowing no show, you know what I mean? And they were going to go through a hard time, you know, some things that were coming. But what happens is the fact that, you know, we need to understand that we need to speak to the root of our problems. You know, you and I have a tendency to focus on the fruit of our problems instead of getting to the root of our problems. You know, has anybody ever here by chance gotten angry? Today, don't raise your hand, okay, a couple of us, you know. 9 times out of 10, you're probably really not angry about that situation, but there's something else that's the root of your anger that's causing that little thing to be a trigger to make you angry. See, we spend time dealing with the fruit, but we never get to the root. And see, that's what Jesus wants us to understand, and especially when it comes with the idea of walking in the realm of faith, being able to believe that you receive when you pray. See, words are containers. You know, words carry a message of faith and doubt, don't they? Now, I'm going to go into some things here in a minute, but I have a gut check, you know. I want to ask us a question. Do we believe that we can speak doubt all day long and then pray some 20-second prayer and think it's going to undo all that damage? Think about it. All day long, we talk about lack. Oh, I don't have enough. I don't have this. I don't have that. Nothing ever goes right for me. Oh, nothing. Oh, did you see that, what they have? I wanted that, and they got it. That just makes me mad. You know, I never have enough. I can't. My car is falling apart. I never have enough. The roof's leaking. I just never have enough. I can barely make it. Then, sit down for 20 seconds. Lord, just bless me in Jesus' name. Thank you, I receive it. Huh, come on now. Now, I know some prayer, if that, you might slip a few through, you know what I'm saying, if your faith is great. But I don't believe your faith is great if you're speaking the other way all day long. You know what I mean? You know, we need to change, you know, our confession. And, you know, when we change our confession, it changes our possession. I'm not talking naming and claiming or blabbing and grabbing, you know, like some do. But I do believe there's a lot of things that we can really look at in our mouth that's coming out. You know, my weakness is, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of like an umpire. I call balls and strikes. And that's good in some ways. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not good. Because I need to call them all strikes. You know what I'm saying? I need to call them all a strike. I don't care if they're way outside. You know, strike. How many's had some umpires in that in Little League? Come on. Yeah, we've all had those. Guys, get the game done. Here we go. You know, kid looks back. What? That's funny. But anyway, so it's not funny if it's your kid up there crying, you know, after they strike. I'm kidding. No. We need to be able to, you know, have this power to speak to the problem. If we always speak the problem, it gets worse, but we have to speak to that problem. You know, here's what I think we need to do. We need to repent and pray for a crop failure for all those seeds. See, words are like seeds. What we need to do, and we don't need to beat ourselves up over it, but if you know you've been speaking death or speaking lack and, you know, speaking, you know, things in your life that you don't want to see happen or in somebody else's life, hey, just take a moment. And just pray, say, Lord, I just pray a crop failure over all those seeds of doubt and unbelief and, you know, just ugliness that I've sown. And I just want a new crop, words of life to come out of me and start to change that and turn it around. Because I do believe, you know, that that's a very practical way that we can start to see things start to change in our life. See, are we the kind of people that magnify the Lord or do we magnify the problem? See, we need to magnify the Lord, how big our God is in this situation. You know, stop calling things as you see them and start calling them as you want to see them. Like I said about, you know, an umpire calling them all strikes. Now, I want to look at the idea of a mountain of unanswered prayer. See, sometimes you and I have, you know, maybe went to the mountain, maybe things didn't go like we wanted. Have you ever had that problem? You know I have. You know, I've went to the mountain, and, you know, what happens then, the mountain, you know, was bigger than I could handle, and things didn't go the way that I wanted. So then what happened is I let that affect me a little bit. It kind of started to hinder my faith and started to hold me back in my walk with God because I allowed that to affect my prayer life. Now, here are some reasons that I just want to throw out today about unanswered prayer that can really affect our faith. The first one, like I mentioned as we started off, for whatever reason, the Holy Ghost tapped on unforgiveness, you know, right at the end of this teaching. You know, and that's a tough one, you know, that why he did that. But, you know, we need to walk in forgiveness, you know. You know, Bible says that when we stand praying, forgive, you know. Evidently, unforgiveness in our life will hinder our prayer life. It'll hold us back. So maybe you need to forgive them by faith, but just let it go. You know, unforgiveness doesn't affect anybody but you, for the most part. And maybe if you're really grumpy and growly about it, it's going to rub off on some people around you. You know what I'm saying? Don't point at nobody right now. I'm closing my eyes. I just know everybody's elbowing each other. Come on now. You know, but you know, the idea of how that unforgiveness can really have an effect on us. So that's evidently number one. Number two, maybe it's not God's will for you to have that. I know that's a tough one to accept sometimes, and that also could tie back to it. Sometimes it's a timing issue. You know, maybe we want something that we're not really ready for yet. So timing. So unforgiveness, not God's will for us, timing issue. Here's one we don't like, unbelief. You know, it's hard to imagine, isn't it, that we've been in church this long, you know, and we still have unbelief in our life. Well, I can handle, I know I do. You know, some people just makes them feel bad and want to walk away. Makes me want to try harder in a sense where I want to try to unroot that. But unbelief, you know, is a problem. Like I said, I believe in God, but I don't believe God. You know, I got to deal with that. And I'll be honest, we just come out of this 21 days of prayer, and this is what God challenged me on. You know, that I need to go deeper in my trust. I need to start believing I receive when I pray. And I've looked at this scripture over the 30-some years I've been saved, different times in my life, and growed a little bit through it and stuff, but I'm really hoping for more. I want to root down so I can go up. You know what I'm saying? So, next, I know this don't happen here, but maybe a selfish prayer. Have you ever prayed a selfish prayer? I know none of us has ever done that before, you know, that we prayed something selfishly. Maybe it's a spiritual warfare issue. You know, maybe you're, you know, praying for the lost, and we know that, you know, the God of this world, it says, blinded their eyes, you know. We know there's principalities and powers and rulers in high places around here, you know, and, you know, they're trying to hinder and hold back. So yeah, sometimes you got to do a little spiritual warfare, and you know, pray through for breakthrough. You know, that's kind of what we need to do. So that's a deal about an answered prayer. And last one I want to really touch on is the idea of disappointment. And I think this is something, you know, I know that I've had to deal with, because we need to pray with expectancy. And to me, there's been times in my life my expector got broken. You know, I know that's not a word, you know, but I made it up. You guys can use it if you want. But my expector, it's that thing inside of me that wants me to expect things from God. And as I've went through life, and maybe I've been in a lot of skirmishes and battles and, you know, different things in my life that's went on, that maybe, you know, I got disappointed in God, that my prayers weren't answered the way that I wanted them to. And so what's happened is that for me, I believe that's become somewhat of a mountain in my life that I've had to deal with. And God revealed that to me, and I thank God for it. You know, trying to deal with some of the things, because I want to see my prayers answered, not for me, because many of my prayers are more for other people, especially people getting saved and, you know, coming out of darkness into the light. And if I'm not operating at full potential because I'm damaged or hindered in any way, shape, or form, you know, that I need to deal with that. I don't need to make excuses. You know, I need to go to a healing God and say, God, heal me of this problem. I want to be more effective in my prayer. You know, the Bible says effective prayer will accomplish much. And so I want to be more effective in my prayer. You know, so how we respond to adversity can either draw us closer to God or push us away. And that's a truth. You know, the old saying that the same sun that melts the snow bakes the clay. You know, some people, when things go on in their life, they grab a hold of God and they won't let go. Some people, when things go on in their life they don't like, they blame God and they push him away. You know, we need to be the kind that grab a hold. And that's where we need to get to. Now, last point I want to see today is believe you receive. Believe you receive. Okay, this is where it gets a little harder. You know, this is where we have to learn, you know, I don't want to say a wrong word, make it sound new agey or something, but, you know, we need to be able to see things in our mind a little bit. There's a lot of truth to that, how we can start to see things start to be accomplished. So you need to believe you see, you know, before you receive it. You got to believe you receive it before you see, shall we say. You know, and we need to see that through the eye of faith. You know, when we pray, it says here, when you pray, do not doubt. Don't let doubt be in your heart.
You know, so there's that aspect of, because in our mind, and I don't know if I'm going to go into this next week, if I, it depends on what's going on, but you know, we have a mind that thinks, and that is trained to only look at the natural, right? And see, our mind can talk us out of things of faith. And our mind is good, don't get me wrong. I mean, it'll tell you, don't jump off that cliff. You know what I'm saying? There's some good things your mind will tell you. But also our mind, unless it's renewed to the Word of God, can hinder us and hold us back from being able to enter in and stretch out and faith. Because faith stretches us. You know what I mean? Have you ever, your legs ever get tight or parts of your body get tight? You know, as you get older, everything tightens up a little bit. Some things get loose, but I mean, you know, most things get tight. And see, you need to stretch. And see, we need to be stretched, our faith. We need to be reaching out a little bit farther than our reach. You know, we need to try to get out there and get that. Like I say, we're believing, you know, for new families to come in. We're believing for God to touch bodies and people to be filled with the Spirit. You know, we need to, you know, if you feed our faith, it'll starve our doubt. Both of them can't win. But if we starve our faith, we're feeding our doubt. And we need to turn that around. Another thing that keeps us kind of held back, and I want to throw this out. I kind of maybe mentioned this word a minute ago, but the idea of coincidence. You know, a lot of people, when something happens, you know, there'll be somebody who'll pipe up, oh, that's just coincidence. I don't think so. Bible says my steps are ordered to the Lord. I don't know who's ordering you around, but God's ordering me around. And when God does some things, like when George Mueller heard that knock at the door, you know, he could have not answered. Or when the baker got up and gave him the bread, he said, oh, that's just the coincidence. You probably just, you know, ate too much for supper and you couldn't sleep good. That's what somebody will try to tell you. Or when the milkman broke down right in front of the door, all that thing was a piece of junk anyway. It was going to break down somewhere. You know, there's people going to try to talk you out of faith. Those are people the Bible says, I don't want to offend anybody now, but it says, don't cast your pearls among the swine. There's people you can't tell things to. And that's a fact. Especially when your faith and your seed is just getting started. Because they're going to curse you. They're going to talk you out of it. They're going to make fun of you and make you feel weird. And you just need to just say, hey, you can talk about the weather with them. You can talk about other things, but you can't tell them your faith projects you got. We all got faith projects, right? You know, so we can't tell some people some things. Just keep it to yourself. Then when it happens, you can go, nah, 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 nah. No, just kidding. Yeah. I told you it's going to happen, bless God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. See, we are rewarded by seeking God. Faith always has a reward. So it's worth it, people. It's worth it. It's worth it for us to go the extra mile. It's worth it for us to really try to separate ourselves from the things of the world, the lies of unbelief that are trying to talk us out of the things of God. It's worth it because faith has a reward. You know, we need to grow into this. Very few Christians take this vital step in the walk with God. They settle for, if it be thy will, and they walk away from their mountain. Remember, if we know the Word of God, we'll know the will of God. God tells us, and it's not wrong to pray for somebody's salvation. You know what I'm saying? It's not wrong to believe God that he's going to meet your needs according to his riches and glory. You know, there's things, you know, that God wants to do. Now, that one has a precursor. It also says, you know, giving. So I think it's hard to use your faith for finances unless you're going to use your faith for giving. But that's just how the Bible says it, and we can talk about that some other time. See, God revealed to me how much more we need to trust him, and especially for myself. Here's a confession I have. I might have read it somewhere. I don't remember if I read it or just came to me. It says, I believe I receive when I pray because I believe what I say will come to pass. That ties in. That's how you pray the word when you pray this scripture. You know, you have to step out. You have to speak to that mountain of doubt, that mountain of lack. You know, that mountain of, you know, the unbelief that comes in, and tell it to get out of our way and to go into that sea and be never come back. The next thing we have to do is a word I didn't really like throwing in here, but I felt I needed to, is the word patience as we're closing here. You know, patience is something that there sometimes is a gap between when I say amen and the time that I actually see it with my naked eye. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not instantaneous all the time, but we live in an instantaneous world. Just click your phone, boom, it's there, right? And we're used to that. It spoils us, but it hinders our faith, because patience is good, because what patience does, it tests and refines our faith. See, the fig tree didn't die immediately. Granted, it only took one day for Jesus to get that done. Some of our things take a little longer, don't they? But through that patience, grow through it. Grow through it. Just keep holding on. Just keep holding on to God for what your desire is. Holding on to God for what the dream is, the thing that you're praying for. And as you hold on to God, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. And you're going to become stronger on the other side. So I want to challenge us each today to step up our game, because breakthrough's coming, and we don't want to turn back now. Let's pray.